1985. Obviously, people will complain if they can't hear it. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janabalava Girivaradhari. Gopi Janabalava Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanarchari. Yamuna Chiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janabalava Girivaradhari. Gopi Janabalava Chaturnandana Rajaganaranjana Yajaranandana Rajaganaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Sattara Satishri Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Sattara Satishri Shimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gau Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Sri Jagannath Puri Chaitra Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga and Srila Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5 26th chapter, text 16 and 17. But that's, what verse is that? That's just, right here. So I guess we're not chanting the verse. Text 16. Yastriha vai raja raja purushova adande dandam pranayati Brahmaneva sharira dandam sapapya narake mutra sukara muke Nipatati tatra vilaya vinispishyamana vayavo Yatave kek sukanda arta surena swanayan kvachin murchita kashmala mubukato Yataveha jashta dosha upur Uparudaha. Translation. In his next life, a sinful king or governmental representative who punishes an innocent person or who inflicts corporal punishment upon a brahmana is taken by the Yamadutas to the hell named Sukaramukh, where the most powerful assistants of Yamaraj crush him exactly as one crushes sugar cane to squeeze out the juice. The sinful living entity cries very pitiably and faints, just like an innocent man undergoing punishments. This is the result of punishing a faultless person. Text 17. Yastri havai bhutanam vishvaro pakalpita vrittanam avikta para vyatanam swayam purusho pakalpita vrittir vivikta para vyato vyatam acharitisa paratran dukupe tad abhidrohena nipatati tatra hasota jantubi pashu mriga pakshi sarishpra sharish ripaya masaka yuka makuna maksikad bir ye ke cha bidrugdhas tai sarvato bidru yamanas tamasi vahata nidra nirvitriya alabdha vastana parikramati yata kushare jiva. Translation. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, low-grade living beings like bugs and mosquitoes suck the blood of human beings and other animals. Such insignificant creatures are unaware that their bites are painful to the human being. However, first-class human beings, brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, are developed in consciousness, and therefore they know how painful it is to be killed. A human being endowed with knowledge certainly commits sin if he kills or torments insignificant creatures who have no discrimination. The Supreme Lord punishes such a man by putting him into the hell known as Andakupa, where he is attacked by all the birds and beasts, reptiles, mosquitoes, lice, worms, flies, and any other creatures he tormented during his life. They attack him from all sides, robbing him of the pleasure of sleep. Unable to rest, he constantly wanders about in the darkness. Thus, in Andakupa, his suffering is just like that of a creature in the lower species. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From this very instructive verse, we learn that lower animals, created by the laws of nature to disturb the human being, are not subjected to punishment. Because the human being has developed consciousness, however, he cannot do anything against the principles of Varnashram Dharma without being condemned. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvanya Maya Shistam Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Thus, all men should be divided into four classes, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, and they should act according to their ordained regulations. They cannot deviate from their prescribed rules and regulations. One of these states that they should never trouble any animal, even those that disturb human beings. Although a tiger is not sinful if he attacks another animal and eats its flesh, if a man with developed consciousness does so, he must be punished. In other words, a human being who does not use his developed consciousness, but instead acts like an animal, surely undergoes punishment in many different hells. Om Agyana Timurandasya Ganjana Shalakaya Chakswarmli Taminatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankai Degrim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataram. Text 16, translation again. In his next life, a sinful king, a government representative who punishes an innocent person or inflicts corporal punishment upon a brahmana, is taken by the Yamadutas to the hell named Sukaramuk. By the most powerful assistance of Yamaraj, crush him exactly as one crushes sugarcane to squeeze out the juice. The sinful living entity cries very pitiably and faints, just like an innocent man undergoing punishments. This is the result of punishing a faultless person. Very interesting, this fifth canto. Prabhupada was speaking on fifth canto at the time of the opening, actually 1976, so a year after the opening in Vrindavan here. And these particular topics never cease to generate certain levels of discussion amongst devotees about what is justified or unjustified killing of living entities. We know that if a person commits murder, and the government has the mandate to judge him, that he should be killed. So, although it is described here, they're not even anything, any ants, should be killed because they're not conscious of their giving pain. So even in criminal law, there is some adjustment that if a person is not competent to understand the consequences of his action, if he's considered insane, unable to tell the difference between right and wrong, then he is not killed, but he is given life imprisonment because he cannot form the necessary component called the criminal intent in order to be held liable for the crime of murder. But if one, knowing full well the consequences of his action, commits murder, then he's liable to be killed. So in this way, one, a devotee never causes any harm to every living entity. But there are occasions. We know, even here it says reptiles, but we know in 7th canto it says vrishchika, sarpa, hatya. The sadhu is even happy, not just neutral. He's happy to see the killing of a scorpion or a snake. Because these living entities, they bite without cause. So Prabhupada made that distinction. Well, the Vedas also make that distinction, but Prabhupada clarified for us. There's that famous story. He lectured in many places, but in Mayapur one time also, he indicated he was visiting there. If you go to Mayapur, you can see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's quarters, if they're open, upstairs, and he has one veranda. So at one time, Prabhupada was also staying there. So he heard commotion in the courtyard, and he came out to see. And there was a big snake. And everyone was wondering what to do. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appeared in the upstairs veranda and he said, "Kill it." So at that point, Srila Prabhupada said, "I was a new man. So when I heard Guru Maharaj say that, 'Kill it,' he said, I had some doubt." But then when he read this 7th canto, Vrishchika Sarpahatya, he said, "Oh, then I was relieved, happy." Because everything is there. If one wants to understand, then Krishna gives him that knowledge from within the heart. But if one is envious, then he will stick to that. He say, "Oh, look, this sadhu, he's killing this." So this is the mentality. So that mentality is also ascribed to the living entity when he is compared also to a snake. In Bengal they have a saying, "Dui muksar, dui muksar." That there's, all snakes are dangerous, but the most dangerous snake is the dui muk. This is the man, is the envious man. Normal snake, he could be tamed by some mantra or some herbs, Srila Prabhupada said. But the jealous, envious person, the dui muksa, he cannot be controlled. He cannot be tamed. So what to do? So for us, we have to avoid these persons at all costs. We have to be attentive in our own sadhana, that these things, just like the jealousy and envious, Prabhupada used those terms to describe this serpent-like person. And these things come from false pride and false ego. This is like the scorpion and the snake. The scorpion is like pride, or snake is like false ego. We can see these things. Especially the scorpion. You know, when one's false ego is attacked, one feels just like he has been stung. That is like the scorpion. And he wants to immediately strike out also. Those are very dangerous. Why is it so important, Srinada Pishunichana? Why is it so important for us to develop this humility? Because such a mentality, this jealousy and envy, that lecturer in Mayapur, the name is jealousy, it's cause and cure. And of course the cure is to engage ourselves, Rishikesha, Rishikena, fully engage all those senses, ahoitakiya pratiyata, devoid of any desire for profit, distinction and adoration. So the next translation, text 17. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, low-grade living beings like bugs and mosquitoes suck the blood of human beings and other animals. Such insignificant creatures are unaware that their bites are painful to the human being. However, first-class human beings, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, are developed in consciousness, and therefore they know how painful it is to be killed. A human being endowed with knowledge certainly commits sin if he kills or torments insignificant creatures who have no discrimination. The Supreme Lord punishes such a man by putting him into the hell known as Andakupa, where he is attacked by all the birds, beasts, reptiles, mosquitoes, lice, worms, flies, and any other creatures he tormented during his life. They attack him from all sides, robbing him of the pleasure of sleep. Unable to rest, he constantly wanders about in the darkness. Thus, in Andakupa, his suffering is just like that of a creature in the lower species. And so while reading this, we can understand how sinful it is considered even to torment these what we consider insignificant living entities. So how much more sinful it is that one is now killing the child in the womb. Material society has become so hardened. And of course we see the meat eating certainly is the first step when one can justify the taking or consuming the flesh of another living entity, then it is only a logical progression to the next level of degradation. And why not only kill the child in the womb, but why not just eat the child? That's described, that in the Bhagavatam, the symptoms of Kali Yuga, that in the future, people will have children only to consume them. And this is going on in some places. So how simple. So therefore it is such a strict, we have this Vaidhi Bhakti or Avidhi Purvakam, the opposite side. One follows or one doesn't follow and he'll get the result. So we have to be very strict. We don't want to make adjustments. Although Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, on time and circumstance, he said to preachers when they went to London that if they had to, they could even eat meat. But this is called emergency. But it is no longer emergency if one is doing it every day. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes that very clear in the Harinam Chintamani. He says, weakness of heart is when one has some incidental fall down due to circumstances, sometimes beyond his control. But he immediately picks himself up and realizes the nature of that offense, and he promises never, ever to engage in such activity again. And the definition of truthfulness, one definition, Prabhupada comments in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the qualities of Sri Krishna, that one who keeps his word, that is considered truthfulness. So everyone has taken his word at the time of initiation, before the fire, before the spiritual master, before the deities, before the demigods, before the assembled Vaishnavas, that it will not break these principles. So that is his word. So if he wants to progress in spiritual life, he has to maintain that word at all costs. My dear friend Kumarupa had one saying, be yourself at all costs. Because if one cannot be honest in his own life, then what can he expect from others? And how can he preach this philosophy effectively? Purity is the force. We know this. We have seen it. We have seen preaching when it is pure. We have seen preaching when it is contaminated. And we have seen the results of both. So we should learn. What are these things? An interesting story related to this situation. When first building, of course, was Srila Prabhupada's house. And one of the, maybe the first temple commander, our god brother, his name is Mahavir from Canada. So the monkeys in Vrindavan, now as before, are very mischievous. Not just mischievous, also destructive. So they take great pleasure in breaking things. So it is not harmless. It is malicious. They know what they're doing. As opposed to the mosquito. When he bites you, when I said in the beginning of the class, you have to be able to form the intent. You have to know the difference between right and wrong. So someone says, oh, monkey doesn't know. No. You have to watch and see. Does he know or doesn't he know? Does he know that if I do this, I'm creating mischief? Yes, he knows. So Prabhupada gave to Mahavir one air rifle. Does everyone know what is an air rifle? By air compression, you break it, you load a pellet, and then you can shoot something, a target or something. And he said, not too hard, kill them, just to pinch them, to keep them off out of his garden, off his veranda. That was Mahavir's job. Tamil commandment. And they learn. So if they are unconscious and they can't form the understanding, then how is it they learn? Just simply by seeing that in the hands of Mahavir, they would run away. He would simply pick it up and they would run. So they have learning. They have intelligence. Mosquito has no intelligence. But this is the austerity, especially if one is living in a place like Vrindavan Dham or Mayapur. There are innumerable insects, snakes, reptiles. And one tries his best to avoid them. But sometimes it is not possible. And inevitably one gets bitten. Prabhupada also gave a lecture here in Vrindavan. And he said, patita. We know patita means fallen. But patita literally means falling from a high place. Not that patita means I'm a fallen conditioned soul. That is there also. But patita means like to fall off a ladder or to fall off a roof. And he said that if one chants, if one falls down from this condition and he chants the holy name, then he will not suffer. Not that he will not be in pain or not that, but he will not suffer. There will be no mental suffering. So this is very interesting. So these are also living entities. We should not disturb them. One time in Bhagavatam class, the birds, the pigeons, so one devotee started to make some noise to chase me. Prabhupada said, oh, that's okay. Because I thought they're disturbing Prabhupada, but Prabhupada didn't care. Says what to do. Any arrangement you make, when we were building Prabhupada's Samadhi, we had these barriers. Everyone has seen them in the doorways, these strips of cloth. And at the end they're weighted. And so for some time it keeps the pigeons out, But then the pigeons learned that you can just go on the floor and walk underneath. So what to do? It works for some time. Jai Shri Shri Gaur-Nitai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar. Please have mercy on us. So we should not become envious of these harmless living entities, and neither should we punish or find fault in those who are faultless. Prabhupada gave a definition, knowing our need for such clarification due to our less intelligence. He said, finding fault means finding fault where there is none. This should be clear. An envious person, he finds fault in everyone and everything, because he is developing that nature. He has become infected by that mode. So then he cannot help it, but he is not innocent. But he is dangerous. So one has to avoid such persons. But we should learn from such persons who are like that. That please, my dear mind, please take shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Help me to avoid these offenses in my chanting, in my association with the devotees, in my devotional service to you. If I can just be conscious, Prabhupada said, first conscious, then Krishna conscious. So we have to be conscious. And we have to hear from our senior God brothers, God sisters, and how, if they're here, obviously they've progressed and traversed the path, not without difficulty. So how have they done it? It is not a secret. One stays firmly fixed in devotional service. This is the first. One cannot be idle even for a moment. If he thinks, I can sit down in a solitary place, if I can imitate Haridas Thakur, then my devotional life actually is finished. But that person may not know it. He can continue on for 30 years, wandering from place to place, looking for something. When that analogy in the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu is that the treasure is there, right there. He just has to engage in devotional service under the guidance of the pure devotee. He doesn't have to go seeking something elsewhere. He doesn't have to think that something more esoteric. What is more esoteric than this? Ahoitakiya Pratiyata. What can there be higher than devotional service at the lotus feet of the pure devotee? But still someone is thinking, no, I want to know, what is my Siddha Deha? What is my Siddha Sarup? I want to know, what is my spiritual identity? But yet I cannot even stop thinking about women or Facebook or... So how is that? But this is the trap, especially in the holy places. Because there's, when in the early days, now someone may think, oh, this Rasiya, or this Ras Lila in Julan, now the rains are coming, so all these different places, they'll come. And the devotees used to ask Srila Prabhupada, can we go? And Prabhupada said, why? What do you want to see? Someone is pretending like this to be Radha Krishna. Some boys are dressed up like gopis. He says, and what is the purport? So many people are accepting these as mundane activities. And he has given us the first thing in order of priority, When Srila Prabhupada had the opportunity, he summarized these books to just see how he has considered what is important for us. So Bhagavad Gita is there. Then summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Summary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Summary study of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, of Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are the essentials. This teachings of Lord Chaitanya is not an ordinary summary study. This is Srila Prabhupada's unique contribution. Someone can point and say, oh, here's the commentary, because has everyone has visited Jaipur, they have gone to Galtaji. Anyone has seen Galtaji? Anyone know? Yes. Galtaji is famous. It is where Govinda spoke to Baladev Vidyabhusan. Govinda Bhashya. He had darshan there. It is a very ancient ashram, carved in solid rock. You go, as you come in this transport area of Jaipur, you go up to one road, ancient, and you, as you cross this, climb this slight path, you can feel as if you're going back through a time warp, actually. Not just time, but dimensional. Such a sacred place. Who can understand how this is, these special things to a Gaudiya Vaishnavas are there? Otherwise, we were not considered bona fide. This, because we had no commentary. So in this place, there is a Gomukh at the top of a cliff in the hill. And from this Mukh comes the Ganges, pure, flowing. On a mountain in a desert, this Ganges water flows, pure and cool. And when we were young brahmacharis, after Sankirtanas, and we would go there and we could jump off from 20 feet up or higher into this deep pool. Very refreshing. So, but these are all associated with these special pastimes. And I hope everyone gets an opportunity, but not to become trapped by some bogus guru, philosophy, siddhanta, something here, something there, this Baba, that Baba. Prabhupada condemned all. They may seem like something special. One has to know. He has to have that, because it's very easy. Nowadays, nobody cares. One wife, two wives, three husbands, four husbands. This is Kali Yuga. But how is that honest? How is that truthful? How is that chaste? If one knows the nature of Srila Prabhupada's special contribution, special pastimes, these are unparalleled. In the future, they will be written. He said these books are the law books for 10,000 years. How is that? So unique. This teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And if one reads this, he will not be thinking, oh, I need to find out what is my siddhadeya. Because the real Vaishnavas are not chanting now. They're chanting Janme Janme Prabhu said. Saying, let me take birth after birth with my spiritual master and do his service. They're not even considering, what should I do? Which dress should I adopt? Which part of the Ashta Kalya Leela should I imitate? So please be careful. I have seen so many guy brothers come and go due to this contamination. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada for his blessings that I may please get another guru. He said, there is no bhajan here. He said, there is no bhajan. And he asked Prabhupada his blessings to find another guru. So whether you actually say it or not, if you go here and there like some bee going from one flower to another, looking for this nectar, artificially, then you're basically saying the same thing. You're basically telling Prabhupada, oh, you're my guru, but Prabhupada said, if you say but, everything before that word becomes invalid. Prabhupada used to say invalid. You can say so many things, but as soon as you say but, everything before that becomes invalid. So you say, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you're my guru, but I'm going here to this place. I want to get some different nectar. Anyway, we want to keep some time for questions, comments, criticisms. Everyone should be on the lookout for Dewey Mook Sarp. If you see that, you must run in the other direction. Because you cannot control that person. He will contaminate you and he will bring you down. You will know him. They'll always be talking some envious and jealous topics. Finding fault. Finding fault where there is none, but plenty according to them. No questions? Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Just regarding the innocent living entities. If someone is, say, running a restaurant for Krishna, and they have to deal with things like cockroaches, flies, and
yes, Prabhupada actually told us. I ran the first restaurant in New York City, and he gave us direct instructions to follow the laws, the rules and regulations of the city of New York, up to and including the health conditions that required us to have regular visits by licensed people who handle pests. So yes, that was there. For Krishna, not for myself. The insect is biting me, then that is not that doesn't come to the level. Even sometimes you hear devotees say it, that the mosquito, he's attacking with a pointed weapon. And there are six types of aggressors that can be killed. And one who attacks with a pointed weapon. So some devotees are saying like that. But if it is for me, now if he is attacking my godbrother, then I can consider. But if he's attacking you, no. And you cannot. He's innocent. He's not to be killed. But for the devotee, one time in Venezuela, Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and Hai was commenting, our god brother, he was saying, Srila Prabhupada, the mosquitoes do not seem to be bothering you at all. They must know you're a pure devotee. And Prabhupada said, in Calcutta, they have no such distinction. So Prabhupada also had an excellent sense of humor. But you take necessary precautions. We know that here in Srila Prabhupada's room, when he would translate at night, there would be mosquito net over his desk and asana. And when he would sleep over his bed here and wherever required, there's mosquito net. Not that we invite the mosquitoes to come and suck our blood, but by chance, it's there. It happens. But we don't stand there and let the snake or the scorpion bite us. You know, because this is dangerous. And we have the Vedic conclusion that even if they're not attacking, they're a danger and therefore they deserve to be killed. So we have to be careful not to be sentimental, not to, what is that? Niyamagraha, niyamagraha. We can't just follow these rules fanatically or not follow them at all. We have to know. What is that famous? Prabhupada responded to one devotee who was asking so many questions. And the content is not important, but so many questions. And Prabhupada said, because at some point he was concerned that, you know, Why still asking? I've already answered so many, but why still asking? So he responded, he said, many of these questions that you're asking are common sense. And if you don't have any, ask someone who does. So we have to be practical. Not to, you know, be so concerned with the small, minute details of these rules and regulations. In the early days, we were like that. We were so cautious. In one sense, it was a little helpful. But, you know, you become so, sensitive. Not touching this, you couldn't touch, you know. If you accidentally touched your hair, of course we were all shaved up then, but your face, you had to go wash your hands. You couldn't, if you were even in the middle of, you know, making the deities plates or anything like that, you had to immediately stop and go. And so this is something to think that Krishna's plates are very special. But if no one has any other questions, one about these rules and regulations. So I was a new devotee in the temple. We had, this was called Henry Street Temple. Very nice temple. Radha Govinda, the New York deities, were installed there first. Before that, on 2nd Avenue, we had only Panchatattva picture. And then little Lord Jagannath. And Prabhupada's small Radha Krishna. Not only, these are sufficient. These were everything. Prabhupada brought the deities back. So those deities are worshipped, and are still worshipped in New York, Prabhupada's original Radha Krishna. And so at one point, you know, you would progress through stages as a bhakta. You know, first you couldn't do anything because you're just neophyte. You know, there you could just wash pots and clean the stool room. And we did. We washed pots all day long. Clean the stool rooms as necessary. Prabhupada said, if you wash these pots, you wash your heart. Another interesting note that every pot washer knows in New York, because these things were passed down from pot washer to pot washer, that the inside of the pot, the outside of the pot is the same as the inside of the pot. So you can't just wash the inside and not wash the outside. Both should be equally shiny. And we had brass pots. And we shine them like Panchatattva. They like this, you could, amazing how clean. Because we knew that every speck of dirt was another particle of dust, another lifetime of sin extricated. You clean these pots, you clean your heart. That was the formula. So we were cleaning and cleaning. And the next stage is you get to do service in the pujari room. You get to make up Tulsi's plates, take care of Tulsi, maybe get to pick the skirt, put the skirt on. And you're learning all the arti paraphernalia, incense, flower, conch, bell, whatever is there. But we're reading Nectar Devotion. I was reading Nectar Devotion. And I remember at one point it says that in Kali Yuga, certain flowers have no scent, no smell. And these flowers should not be offered. So I'm trying to understand in Nectar Devotion. So, and sometimes in the early morning, the pujaris have to, you know, they're getting ready. This is before Mangalati. So they're on the deity, they're on the altar, they're making some adjustments. So I'm in the pujari room pretty much by myself doing this. And we had one refrigerator. And in the refrigerator were kept all the expensive flowers, very expensive, orchids, gardenias, things that had to be imported. They would come in little glass tubes. Has anyone seen? They shipped them in these little glass tubes to preserve them. So I have to get a flower for Tulsi, for the Arctic. So I'm looking and there's no flowers. I open up the refrigerator and I take out a flower and I smell it. There's no smell, so I put it back and I take another. And in this way, I'm going through the flowers, very expensive. And the pujari, nice Mataji, her name is Mother Arodra. I remember her name to this day because she saw me and she screamed at the top of her lungs, "What are you doing?" And I just froze. I was stunned. not in ecstasy. Actually, someone told me that she was from the military, because in the United States, women are in the military. So that she was from ex-military. And so when she spoke like that, because we were all us young boys were all in the military, immediately sounded like the sergeant was giving some order. I said, oh. And so you have to quote something. Whenever you're questioned by a superior officer, you must immediately quote the regulation applicable to that. So I said, Mataji, it says, in an act of devotion, I want you not to offer flowers which have no scent. And she said, no, this is Kali Yuga, no flower has scent. And she was screaming at me, and I was just still, what to do? But it's a lesson we have to learn. You know, it was innocent, but I learned at that point. Because yes, it's practical. You understand things. Obviously, it's Kali Yuga, some flowers. And that's why we have the essential oils that we put inside on the Q-tip, on the flower, when we offer it to the Lord. It's Kali Yuga also. So one has to be ready to accept chastisement from any circumstance and to learn from it. Because if he doesn't learn from it, then yes, you could think, oh, who is this woman screaming at me? I'm out the door. No. She's doing her service, I'm doing my service. I'm trying to do my service. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, someone has a question over there.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhu. Jai Prabhupada.
When the most powerful assistants of Yamaraj, they exercise the people in hell, their punishment is so tough, so strong, that they will die very soon, immediately. But on other hand, we get one more thing. Terms of their punishment is so long, so how is it possible?
Good question. Prabhu is asking that this punishment is so strict and so long, how does that go on? There's a stout for the sin of eating an animal, or beating an animal even, what to speak of eating. One has to suffer as many years as there are hairs on the body. And for a cow, it's 10,000 for each hair. But for the normal animal, it's how many hairs you have to spend in that hellish condition. But time is not, as we expect, some fixed point, like relative to us. That's like the ant. Prabhupada said he lives 100 years of his time. But for us, it is only 1 year. So everything is relative. That's like the demigods. They're like Brahma, cowherd boys. After Brahma put them in the cave, he came back after Lava Matra, one moment. One moment is defined as 1/11th of a second. 1/11th of a second of Lord Brahma's time is 1 year of our time. 1 year. So in this way, time has this relative to your condition. So in that hellish condition, it feels like 10,000 years. It feels like 1,000,000 years. But time and the material level in our, because that we see that's there at Kumbhipaka, Patal Loka. So just between the Garbha Duck and Patal Loka, that time system is different. And again, when he comes back and takes birth again, he comes into this time system. And that time elapses, just the time it takes for him to take birth. 13 months. He is suffering like this. But if he goes to the heavenly planets, that is the time scale of the demigods. And he's enjoying their 10,000 celestial years, which we know their our six, how is it? I forget the time frame, but similar, like Lord Brahma. Our 6 months is there one day or something like that. Is that correct, Maharaji? Is that not clear? That time is relative. And so you're suffering. Yes, Mataji. Somebody, Mataji needs the mic to ask a question. Can someone?
Yes, this is clear some things. Sometimes when I'm reading this part, another problem is the punishment is very high. Some people doing this, like take 1 day, then they will come up and something like this. And punishment is very hard. And if we are not remembered, we are in the hell, or how we can. The punishment is for take out the sin, but if the people or also us, we are not remembered, we are in the hell, how is the change is coming?
From that hellish punishment, one has a fixed sentence. But there are considerations.
So, because we forget, no? We forget.
We forget everything completely when we take birth again in this material world. Unless, but we have the benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam to remind us of the severe nature of the punishment. So one learns by hearing. So if the father tells the son, don't do this, or there will be severe punishment. The young boy, if he's faithful to the father, he knows, I will not go against the word of my father. Just like Srila Prabhupada has told us so many times, you know, don't imitate, follow. There's a very clear instruction, don't imitate, follow. So this punishment that's there, we see that there are opportunities. If one's family members are faithfully offering this oblations to the fire, to the demigods, there can be some relief. Just like in the material world, someone may petition for a sentence reduction. You go to the warden on some hardship. This person is now so much suffering, please give him early release. So family members can pray. That is why it is said that the son is very important, because he delivers the forefathers. Without the son, who gives the oblations to Vishnu? This is in the Varnashram we're speaking, not Daivi Varnashram. But in the Varnashram system, the son must do this, and then the forefathers can be saved from this hellish condition. They do not have to suffer this full term of this sentence. They can even be immediately released if one has the means to please the demigods. Everything there is done administratively. Just like here in the material world, you have to give some bakshish. Yes, Mataji.
And all this punishment is for all people, for in general people, because for example we are reading Bhagavatam or listening to us, but what about the other people? They also want them to commit many sins for many things because they don't know.
No, yes. Ignorance is no excuse. Prabhupada gave that analogy also. It is not that the fire does not burn a small child if he touches it. So if one does not know, the human form of life is the opportunity to break the cycle through knowledge, through surrender to the spiritual master, through engaging in pure devotional service. Everyone in the human form of life has exactly the same responsibility. Even in he's doing his duty, if he's in the Varnashram system, it was so nicely created that if they did their duty properly, they incurred no sin. The farmer didn't incur sin by accidentally killing or walking on the ants going to the field and growing grains. As long as these grains were then being offered into the fire or to the brahmanas or to the temple, that was the, about varnashram, that's the nice thing. Everything is taken into consideration. But if one is not engaged in that varnashram system, and he's doing all these things, knowingly or unknowingly, then he has to suffer. There is no excuse. So varnashram is important for the welfare of the whole world. Because in that way, everyone is elevated gradually. Not that unnecessarily they're put into hell because of ignorance. We see that the sannyasis would go into the villages, into every householder's home, and they would take some milk, some grains. And this way, they would be purified immediately. You know, of all sinful activity. And once chanting the holy name, if they see that, because when you see, what do they say? Radhe, Radhe. So one becomes free from all sin in this regard. But he has to be in such an environment. Like you said, they have to be reading. But if their great misfortune is our great opportunity to preach this message all over the world. This is the compassion that Srila Prabhupada had, the compassion that all great Vaishnavas have, paradukha dukhi, that they're sad at the condition of the fallen conditioned souls, and they want to alleviate that condition by distributing this message, by distributing these books. And everything comes down to that. We have to distribute these books. We have to maximize this opportunity we have now, while we still can, to distribute as many books as possible in as many countries as possible. Yes, Prabhu. Say that again. Dui Muksa. Prabhu asked to elaborate on Dui Muksa. There's not much to elaborate. This jealous or envious person is more dangerous than any animal because he cannot be controlled. Even to the extent that Prabhupada warned us that this movement can only be destroyed from within. So how is that? Everyone is a nice devotee chanting Hare Krishna. But how is it that this movement can only be destroyed from within? By this jealousy and this envy. These are the two mouths of this Dui Muksa. So they will wreak havoc. So we have to be very, very careful. We have to seek out the association of those devotees who are constantly engaged in service. Prabhupada gave that example also. He said of this temple, he was speaking Mayapur, but it can be any temple. If this temple simply becomes a place of sense gratification, eating, sleeping, and nice sense gratification, then anyone's coming to this temple like that, he's thinking like that, then his coming is useless. His coming is useless. He said he must serve 24 hours Nija Brittapashram. He said he must become an apprentice. Learn how to serve. This is why you come to the temple, to learn how to serve. My good friend Komarupa, he was Bhakta leader. And many, many devotees came in New York Temple, Hartford Temple, so many temples. And they could learn from him. They could see him and observe him. And this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. That should be there. You learn how to engage 24 hours a day. Not that you engage for 6 hours and then go find some internet cafe and check in on Facebook and update my status and like this. This is not Nija Brittapasam. This is not becoming apprentice. Apprentice thinks, I need to learn very carefully Then he will have success. Prabhupada, in that same lecture, at the end of that sentence, he said, and their coming would be useless. He said, all the GBC take care that this does not happen, that this temple doesn't become a hotel for lazy and crazy fellows. So if anyone is coming for sense gratification, he should leave. On the word of Srila Prabhupada, he should leave. If he's thinking, I'll come now, I'll follow these people, I will imitate, I will do whatever they do, and then I'll get some nice wife, and then I'll get some nice service and some nice salary, like this and this, and his coming is useless. Useless. That is called show bottle. Prabhupada said, show bottle will not act. Everyone knows what is a show bottle? In the apothecary store, they have some display, and all the bottles, they have labels, but they are empty. But they look just like the medicine bottle. But if you take that bottle, it cannot give you any relief. Prabhupada said, show bottle cannot act. So we are not here to make show bottles. We're here to make devotees. Any other questions, comments? I don't know. Breakfast, I think, is 9 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Asana Shukam.